ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपम् रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपरिं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। विष्णु सहस्रनाम नेम 519 इज अमित विक्रम। सो यू कैन अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट दैट मीन्स। सिंपल संस्कृत अमित। अमित मीन्स आ मीन्स नेगेशन। So it's not mitta. Whatever it is, it's not mitta. And we're not talking about sweet here. Mitta means with limitation. So amitta, no, it's not mitta. That's something completely different. So amitta means unlimited. And vikrama, krama means step. Vit means vishesha. So krama can also mean, or vikrama joined together can also mean. So it's a common name in India, Vikram, Vikram Samvat. One calendar system is named, it's a name of a, it's a common Kshatriya name. So Vikram means one who has great prowess. So Amita Vikrama, the two main meanings are given here by the commentators. He is of boundless valor. Valor means courage, heroism, power. All these words are subsumed in valor. And another meaning is the same as Trivikram, which means Vamanadev, who took three great steps. Which was the biggest one? The one, first one or the second one? The first one he covered the lower planetary system, or the second one? The biggest one was the third one, over the head of Bali. That was bigger. To accept one soul as a surrendered soul is more than conquering the whole universe. So three great strides. The most important one is the one over the head of Bali Maharaj. So it's unlimited. Of course you may say, well, it's limited, it's within the material world, even within just one universe. But from our perception, from our point of our position, it's unlimited. And of course he can take his foot beyond the universe and wherever he wants. His feet are everywhere. Sarvata parni padam tat. His hands and legs are everywhere. So in that sense also he's that's why also he can manifest himself anywhere. We have all this science fiction of, what do they call that? I can't remember. They transport themselves from one place to another. Hmm?
Apparition.
I don't. teleportation, something like that. You're in one place,
yeah,
and then you just go somewhere else. And they may say, well, how can, you don't believe all these stories. Krishna just appears and disappears. Is he in the pillar? Yes, he's in the pillar, and he manifests himself. The point is, he's already there, but he doesn't always manifest in his form. So he can appear anywhere. So yeah, how big is your stride? How many strides do you have to take? Count the number of steps it will take you to walk to from here to Tenkasi, center of the city. And you can get these little machines you put on, a little gadget you put on your hand, and that counts the number of steps you take, so you can count it. Krishna can cover much more in one step, but he doesn't need to take any steps. He's already everywhere. But if he wants, he can take big steps just to show he can step more than us. So that's a name of Vamana Dev. And it's you may think, well, how can he step over the universe? Well, he can. For him, it's, you know, it's just like someone gets up in the morning and brushes their teeth. they don't have to think, you know, what am I gonna do? Got a big task. I'm like, I gotta brush my teeth. That's really okay. Pray to God, say a few prayers. Oh God, please help me to brush my teeth. It's not like that. I had that experience once where it became very difficult for me. I could hardly move my hand. Overnight, it became paralyzed due to the cold weather. That happened to me once, which was a big realization. I mentioned that several times. I couldn't brush my teeth with my right hand. I had to try and do it with my left hand because it was completely paralyzed. But generally, we don't think of such things. We just say, so for Krishna to take two steps across the universe, yeah, what else do you want? Any other tricks? You like to see tricks? For Krishna, it's a very ordinary thing. But he takes pleasure in... Sometimes he takes pleasure in showing off his prowess. And that was particularly for the purpose of cheating the demons. You say, well, why didn't he just fight with them? That's what he usually does with them, but... Bali Maharaj was protected by the Brahma Teja of Shukracharya, which and the other descendants of the Bhrigu dynasty. So Vamana Dev, or Vishnu, who took the form of Vamana, he didn't want to overturn that. The demigods had become weak due to their not worshipping their guru, as well as the demons had, headed by Bali Maharaj, they actually showed more faith in the Vedic ritualistic processes based on respecting the Brahmins than the demigods did. So they became very powerful by worshipping the Brahmins. Of course, nowadays, Brahmins, there's not much meaning to it. When the Brahmins just accept, the Brahmins came to a point where they just expected contributions, and you'll still find that in, if you go to Mathura area, you'll find people saying, give something, I'm a Brahmin, but they have nothing to give. They have nothing to give in return. Just they presume that they're Brahmins. So when the Brahmins can't do anything for you, then people start respecting. When they don't have any tapasya, they don't have any forbearance, they don't have any learning, they don't have any cleanliness, they don't have any of the qualities of a Brahmin, so it doesn't work. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject here, supposed to be describing Amita Vikrama. Vishnu, he didn't want to just kill all the demons, and he wanted to honor that they were put in that position by Brahma Teja of Shukracharya. So he honored that and took the worlds by a different means. So that's the one of unlimited steps. Another way it can be taken as unlimited steps is that this is one of the interpreters puts it this way, is that his everything is, in one sense, his steps, everything goes on under his supervision, by his energy. So everything we see, the whole manifestation of the material world, is a reflection. And so that of his steps. And that also brings in the other meaning of Amitha Vikrama, his unlimited power. They're all people. I just saw a video. Sometimes I get directed to these videos on YouTube, and someone wanted to show, just see the power of God. And they were showing in some video the natural forces, volcanoes, tsunami, and showing big trucks being just washed away in the tsunami, and buildings collapsing in an earthquake. This is the power of God. You see, you should respect God. This is the power of God. And according to some Christians' idea, this shows that that's the end times, because when the world becomes very disturbed like this, it means Jesus is coming. They've been saying this for the last 2,000 years. It's a fact. That's a great manifestation of the power of God. If you see something very powerful, you become awed. Have you had that realization? I guess I've never been there, but I guess if you went to the Niagara Falls, you'd be awed by seeing it on the border of Canada and USA. Did you go there? Everyone there? You went there as a kid? I remember seeing some little water, I mean much smaller than that, in Scotland once when I was a teenager, just standing there. And just, I got absorbed and I forgot about the time and the place. And I was just standing there for, I don't know how long, it was a long time, I was just standing looking at it. It's impressive. If you look at a big mountain, you look up, oh, it's so impressive. So these are very impressive. And oh, there's one anecdote, and I put that in the Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. I was in one of the, I don't know if they still have them in Bangladesh, these little launch boats which go on, they're ferry boats, which, not exactly ferry, they'll go 30, 40 kilometers more, even sometimes 100 kilometers, on the river. So once I was going on the river, that was from North Bengal. At that time there was no bridge from the northwestern part of Bengal, of Bangladesh, to the main section on the other side of the Teesta River. So it was the rainy season, the river was huge, and there was no end to it because all the land was flooded and you could just see some... So it was just like being in an ocean. You could only tell it wasn't the ocean because you could see some trees and some rooftops sticking up above the water. So I was going like that and we started... Even we all got in the boat, and the boatmen were not sure whether they should even take the journey because it was the monsoon season. It looked like the storm was brewing. But they eventually went. It must be quite a feat to navigate because you don't know where the edge of the river is. You might just run into the land and get stuck like a whale that gets beached, something like that. Anyway, it was a huge storm. Then the huge storm, we were in the middle of the river. There's all lightning, and the boat was going this way and that way, and all water, we were in the cabin, and all water was coming in. And it looked like we could sink at any time and get in the newspaper the next day. 200 people killed in it's a common thing in Bangladesh in the monsoon season. So I was sitting just opposite this elderly Muslim man. Of course, most of the people in Bangladesh are Muslim, but he was distinctly Muslim with his little cap, as many, many people are there. Full white beard and wearing his kurta and checked lungi. I mean, just looking like a... And he turned to his companion, person sitting next to him, with sparkling eyes, not in the slightest bit disturbed. He said, "Dekho, Alar Maya." Interesting, I use the word Maya, which is a Hindu concept, you could say. So it was quite spectacular, the storm, and how we were, even though we were in this big boat, but we were at the mercy of the elements. So these are all signs of Krishna's great power. If we're in such a situation, we can remember Amita Vikrama. Oh, look at this great mountain, this great storm we're in the middle of. Boishaki Jo, I was talking about that yesterday. It's very spectacular in Bengal in the Boishak month, the very hot time of the year, just Boishak Jishta, the two hottest months of the year. So during that month, it's hot, all night it's hot, then the sun rising gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and by about 5 o'clock you're completely, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, completely baked. Even the birds, they don't move around. The bees, they just sit in their hives. Everyone's just completely. And if Ramjan comes in that time, very difficult for the Muslims. But I see they fast also, most of them, they fast. That's very good actually. So Ramadan. In Bengal they call it Ramzan. So, and then you almost every night around 5 o'clock, it gets completely hot and baked, and then completely still, there's no wind. And all of a sudden, the sky is completely blue with the sun, but all of a sudden there's a little rumble in the distance. And then you know the storm is coming. And within 10 minutes there's, of that first rumble, there's a huge storm. Somehow the clouds all gather in the sky, tremendous. First of all, winds start to blow, and really heavy winds, and trees get blown down, not just banana trees, but real heavy, solid trees get blown down. Telegraph lines get blown down, and the whole storm's usually over in about 7 to 10 minutes, but there's complete wreckage all over the place. Then you can remember Alar Maya, Amita Vikrama. But what does Krishna say about this? About this power that he exhibits in the material world compared to the whole sum total of his power? Can you think? Yadyat vibhuti mat sattvam Srimad Urjitam Evava Tatta Deva Vagatya Tvam Mama Tejong Shasambhava. It's all this you see, all these manifestations of Krishna's power. It's just a tiny little manifestation. Spark of my splendor, Srila Prabhupada puts it. Tiny little manifestation of Krishna's total power. But still, it's very impressive for us. We can think that, oh, this is the power of God when we see that, because we're so tiny, so very, very, very tiny. So when we see something, some great manifestation of power or energy in this material world, then we go, oh, that's a little manifestation of Krishna's great power, which is far, far, far more than this. All power rests in him, everything rests in him. Adhara Shakti. He is the power in which everything rests. We think of some very great power when we see that some big storm or some explosion, something like this, a big fire. But greater power than even a big explosion or a big earthquake. We see all the time, but we don't see it. What is that? Adhara Shakti. Everything rests in him. He's holding everything all together, and even the earthquake and the explosion, that's all within the earth, which is all the earth and the universe, which is all resting in him. Yasyaika Nishvasita Kala Matava Lamma Jivanti Vilaja Jagadandanata. Jivanti Vilaja, what is it? Vilaja Jagadandanatam Adhara Shaktim Abhayas. Adhara Shaktim. What is the next thing?
Adhara Shaktim Abhalambya.
Abhalambya. Yeah, Abhalambya. He accepts that. Parang Swamurtim. He accepts. Govinda Vadi Purusham Tamajami. It's a long time since I chanted in Brahma Samhita. So that Adhara Shakti, the power to hold everything together. And how does this tremendous power, how does it go on? Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate Natatsamas Chabhyadikas Chadrishyate Paraza Shakti Vividhaiva Shuyate Swabhavuki Gyana Balakriyacha. He doesn't have anything to do, he doesn't have to do any exercises to get any strength. He doesn't have to study under some karate teacher or any such thing. He doesn't have any work to do. He doesn't desire anything. He has nothing to achieve. Everything goes on by his energies, swabhavaki. How is that? All the powers are working just automatically. He doesn't have to even worry about it or think about it, which is another manifestation of his greatness. You may say someone's great, he picks up a big heavy weight. Gold medal, joy! With great effort, he picks up a great weight. But Krishna, another manifestation of his greatness is he doesn't even have to think about it. big demons come in Vrindavan and attack. Demons, even the demigods, are afraid of, and Krishna kills them just as a sport. It's fun for him. Normally, boys, if they're out like that, you don't know because you all had to go to school, but the cowherd boys, they'd be out in the fields. What will they do all day while they're herding the cows? They're playing. So they'll play games of fighting and this and that. But Krishna had real demons to fight with, not just pretend demons. And real heavy demons, which even the demigods were afraid of. And Krishna killed them just in sport. So unlimited prowess. There are so many names which say he has unlimited prowess. Anyone who accepts God, the existence of God, they accept that he's all-powerful. He may be Christian, Muslim, whatever. And even the atheists, they accept that the God we don't believe in is all-powerful. We don't believe there's any such entity. So the very definition of God is all-powerful. But the Vaishnavas in particular, it's not just all-powerful. Okay, finish. Nothing more to say. There's so much to say about it. They can analyze in so many ways. This name, Amita Vikrama, comes in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna praises Krishna. Ananta Viryamita Vikramas Tvam. You have Ananta, which is the same as Amita. Of course, it may be different also, but they're both generally used in the sense of being unlimited. You have Ananta Virya, power. Amita Vikrama. Ananta Virya and Amita Vikrama, they can be more or less synonyms. You are the one of unlimited power. Now, At Kurukshetra, there are so many powerful warriors. Bhishma, or the main ones on the side of the Pandavas were Bhima and Arjuna. And Duryodhana said about his own, Mama Sainyasya Bhima Arjuna Samayudhi. Said, there are so many on my side who are just as powerful as Bhima and Arjuna. Very powerful. Bhishma, Prabhupada said that in comparison with Bhishma, Arjuna was like a fig. So they're very powerful. But compared to Krishna, they're all not very powerful. There's so many powerful, reputed, they're all Vikrami, great warriors. But none of them, except Krishna, was Amita Vikrama. None could be said to be unlimitedly powerful. He's so powerful, Arjuna was very sensible. Both Arjuna and Duryodhana had the option to take either Krishna on their, non-fighting Krishna on their side, or all of Krishna's army. And Arjuna was sensible enough to take Krishna, because even if Krishna doesn't fight, he's so powerful that he can defeat all the warriors, including his own men. So there are so many warriors, but none except Krishna can be described as Ananta Viryamita Vikrama Vikramastvam. So it describes his power. I may think, well, God's very great, but we like Krishna, who's nice, who's friendly with us. We like God, who we can live with and play with and dance with. We're not interested in all this power and this and that. We like Krishna's lila. Of course, no real devotee says like that. But there are some devotees who are particularly absorbed in the Vrindavan lila. But this is also a lila name. Krishna's displays of power within this world, it's also a manifestation of his lila. Because if we say that he is unlimitedly heroic, valorous, and he demonstrates that by killing demons, well, it's just like to give an example. There's a mosquito, kill it. You don't get a medal for killing a mosquito. Doesn't come in the newspaper. So-and-so killed a mosquito. Valorous deed. And play the trumpets. And then make some poems about it. There's such a difference between a human and a mosquito that killing a mosquito could never, in the whole history of the human race, be considered anything heroic. There's such a vast difference in their abilities and power. If a mosquito kills a human, well, they can do indirectly by injecting with some serious disease. But David and Goliath. We have the story of David and Goliath. Krishna's David, he does David and Goliath kind of thing every day as a boy in Vrindavan. You know that David and Goliath? From the Old Testament, there was a giant, some huge guy, and this David, who was just a little boy at the time, killed him. You know, it wasn't expected. They said, hey, Goliath, go and kill that. This boy is causing trouble. Go and kill. Go on. So David got his sling, some cotton, some cloth, and you put a stone, and he threw the stone, hit him in the middle of the forehead, and killed him. So it was unexpected. So it was a heroic act. He later went on to become David, one of the great figures in Jewish history, which somehow or other is well known in the world. Somehow or other means because it got into the old, what we call the Old Testament, is incorporated in the Christian Bible. Otherwise, who would care about any such thing? But Krishna, a little boy killing demons, or even on the battlefield fighting, even outside Vrindavan, he killed so many demons. Shalya, Dantavakra, Shishupal, so many. But that wouldn't be, if you think, well, he's God, then it's something like killing something like you or me killing a mosquito. There's nothing heroic about it. Because there's such a difference between his power and ours, even between his power and the power of the biggest demon. That's described, that Tavakara Karma Lavare Nakam Adbhuta Sringham Dalita Hiranyakashiputano Bringham. He killed with his nails, he killed. So in the translation we have in our songbook, it says the wasp-like Hiranyakashipu, just like you, someone with their nail, they may pierce a wasp. Although I don't see the words in that. Tavakara kamalavare nakam adbhuta sringam dalita hiranyakashipu tanubringa. Bringa, of course, yeah. Bringa means the wasp, yeah. He pierced with his nails the bringer, wasp or bee. So just as easily as someone may pierce a bee. So for Krishna it's very easy, but he appears and he himself has the feeling when he's fighting with these demons that I'm not very great, and he feels them to be a worthy opponent. Otherwise there's no fun, there's no leela. So the names like Amita Vikrama, unlimited prowess, that is also a leela name. We know that he has unlimited power, but he only demonstrates a tiny part of his power. He doesn't show it all. And he only manifests that a little bit, because otherwise there's no fun. Otherwise there's no battle of Kurukshetra. Okay, they can all die. And just by thinking they can all die. All the soldiers on the side of Duryodhana. But then where's the fun? There's no pastimes. There's knowing how Krishna, he's protecting Arjuna. Where does that come? He's advising Arjuna, he's chastising Arjuna, it all goes on in the battle. He's driving him, he's taking orders from Arjuna. The exchange between a charioteer and the sarathi and the rati, the passenger and the driver in a battle, we can imagine how intense it is. They're both relying on each other to save each other's lives, and not only save each other's, because all the time they're being attacked, both of them. The chariot fighter has to protect the charioteer. So they're all the time under attack, and they have to work together. Their minds practically have to merge together in psychically, so that they can work together as one unit. It's complete absorption in what they're doing. Not only to protect themselves, but to try to kill the other side also. And any moment, you can just be, any moment, doom, you're finished. So, it's very, very intimate. For Krishna to become the chariot driver Arjuna means very great intimacy between the two. How they're coming together, and for hours and hours every day they'd be out there, completely their minds becoming one, completely focused on the goal together. Whew. How Arjuna, he definitely had manmana, always thinking of Krishna. How could he do anything else? Standing behind Krishna, and you have to, all the time being fully cognizant of every. You have to be fully cognizant of every. You might be fighting with someone, but there's another force coming in from the side. So Arjuna and Krishna completely absorbed. Of course, Krishna is all powerful, but he presents himself as being less so. And at the end of the day, they both come back into the camp, tired. They'd be bathed. Their servants would bathe them, take their footwear, take their armor off, and then they'd get the news. What happened? Has Bhima come back yet? What's the news from there? Ah, what? Ah, the spies would come from the other camp. What's the news? Then they'd come together and discuss. The five Pandavas and Krishna. Krishna's the chariot driver. What's he doing? Discussing, of course, but he's not the chariot driver. We read that yesterday. Yeah. What is that verse? Rajang Patim. He's the lord of the life of the Yadus and the Pandavas. He sometimes acts as their messenger, as their servant, their advisor. He's everything, all in all to them. So that's another thing. And even though he's all powerful, he becomes the very intimate friend of his devotees, acting for their welfare in all respects. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that he uses his unlimited prowess to protect his devotees. Yeah, so that's a point I've been making. Another point, he's the strength behind everything. We had just at the beginning of this verse, this Vishu Sahasranam verse, the name Jiva was there, so therein I quoted from Gita, Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu. So the next line of that in that Gita verse is Tapas Chasmi Tapas Vishu. So he is the tapasya of the tapasvis. He's the austerity of those who practice austerity. They get power. Mostly the tapasvis, they practice their austerity to get power, maybe yoga power, or the power to go to the heavenly planets, or the power to conquer over the material energy. But that power, that also comes from Krishna. So it's better just to recognize Krishna, then you don't have to bother with all this difficult austerities. Hare Krishna. All glories to Lord Krishna of unlimited prowess. Samapayami.